Please turn with me tonight to Paul's first letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, just one verse before us for the time, for the lapse of time we have tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So my subject tonight is a sinner turned into a saint. This is a well-known verse, I believe. It is a timeless golden text. It is a Pauline formula. It is also the first, actually, of five faithful sayings. The first of five faithful sayings found exclusively only in the pastoral letters. The pastoral letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. So five times you find almost the same, verbatim, the same expression. It is actually a basic gospel statement. There is no word which is difficult in the text. All is so straightforward and easy to understand. It is, I believe, and many believe so, a holy confession. A holy confession professed in the early church, the early believers in the New Testament. It is their way of witnessing about their faith, of confessing their faith. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It is, again, the gospel, actually, in a condensed form. It is a verse for every sinner. Oh, each one of us is a sinner. That's why this is your verse. This is my verse. It is for each one of us. It is, again, one of those wonderful summings of the gospel. So all the gospel we can spend, I believe we can spend the rest of this night really just digging, just expounding the beauty, the wonders we can find in this text. But it tells us what makes it so wonderful in a knot, as a gem, telling us who is Christ, what he has done, what he is able to do, who are we, where we came from, and how can a sinner be turned into a saint? How, here I am, million miles from God, distanced, rejected, no way to have any fellowship with the living God, but I can come to God, and I can be changed, I can be transformed, and find salvation, and be adopted in the family of God, and be considered by God as if I have never committed the slightest sin in my life. So this is the wonders about this verse. I have five very simple headings just to help us to see how a sinner can be turned into a saint by the grace of God. So the first heading I have is from the first part of the verse, the faithful saying. This is a faithful saying, which means what? It is trustworthy. It is reliable. It is accurate. It is sure. It is rock solid. Oh, it is not like the propaganda we hear in this world with its many big, big lies. But this confession or this statement remains unmatched and unchallenged. This is what makes it also so beautiful. It is a faithful saying. It has proved itself and it has passed and will pass. I'm using expressly those two tenses because it has passed in the past every test. And it will continue to pass every test wherever you are in the world and whatever culture you are from. So that makes our text so wonderful. Satan, according to the Bible, the enemy of our souls, is the father of all lies. He breathes as he lies. That's how we must look at unto him. But is there something reliable? Yes, this verse says there is something you can trust on. Why? Because it comes from God who cannot lie. Titus 1 verse 2. God cannot lie. It is impossible. So I can trust what God said in his word because God is greater. He doesn't need you and me. God doesn't need to think. He is wise, the only wise God. And even before, he knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. And before words have even come upon my tongue, God knows it all. So I can really trust what God said in his word. Oh, we have witnessed the collapse. I'm sure you know this better than me. I could confirm that. You know this better than me. We have witnessed the collapse of so many ideologies, so many systems. They have proved themselves to be faithless. They are not worthy of our faith. They are not credible. We shouldn't even consider them. They were gone and never to come back again. They have proved to be faithless. And we cannot rely on science. Yes, science may discover good things. They help us. But I do not depend on science. I do not depend on internet. I do not depend on television, the media, the newspapers, or the anything which man's opinions are changing. All those things, one day they seem to be truthful, and the next day they are debunked. And everyone has even forgotten about them. So this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, is telling me, is answering the question, is there something we can trust? Is there something reliable in this world? And this verse says, yes. Yes, there is something. There is God we can trust. There is the gospel we can trust. There is the word of God we can trust. Oh, this is amazing that we can trust. It is like a label. Can you consider this verse like a label? You buy something, you look at the label, is it trustworthy? Oh, many of the labels do not tell you everything which they are putting, the ingredients they are putting there, all the pollution and so on. But this is a label that is reliable, more reliable than heaven and earth. It is well established, it is full of guarantee. No expiration. No expiring date. It will be forever. It doesn't need to be improved. It will not change. It will never change. Actually, when I read this, I read it so many times, but today it is so clear for me that this is the equivalent, you know, of what? Of that expression. You know the expression. The Lord Jesus said it so many times. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. So it is so reliable, so powerful that we can trust what Christ has said. All the Bible is always right. All the Bible is always true. But this verse has been expressly underlined for us. Its message is unambiguous. It is worthy to be preached. But just one more thing on this beginning. This is a faithful saying, meaning there is no other way to be saved except through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my second heading, the first one, the faithful saying. But second, look at the verse again. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I will come back to that part later. That Christ Jesus came into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. The second is the word came. The faithful word, the first, the faithful saying. The second, the faithful word came. I'm sure you know this is the past tense again. Came. It is something which has already happened. It will not happen again. Christ Jesus came into this world. So we see, by saying that, we see Christ's incarnation, we see his redemption. But I'm sure you have noticed that Christ came into the world. He came into the world not like us. We are born into the world, but he came. Meaning what? He belonged to a different world. He was somewhere already, and then he came. He came because he belonged to a different world. He is the eternal Son of God with no beginning in time, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He came from heaven to earth. He took a human nature in a human body like yours and like mine. Yet, there is a great difference between him and us. He is without sin. He is blameless. He is sinless. He is perfect. So, he is God. God became a man. To show us what? To show us his stupendous love, his unfathomable love, to show us how much he cares for us. Maybe you are here tonight, nobody cares for you. People, they just speak about love, 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 but indeed, in fact, they do not show that love. But everywhere in the Bible, that's why the religion of the Bible is different than any other religion. They may speak about love, but in a practical way, in an active way, in an intentional way, the religion of the Bible is the only one where in so many places we are told that God is love. God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave. Love is not just to gain, but to give. And God did it. God gave us something which none of us would ever give his son or his daughter to anyone unless we are wicked fathers. But God loved us. He loved sinners who will repent and who will trust in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ came into this world. He did not belong to this world. He took the form of a servant. He came not in a good word or world, because you and me, we love people who are like us, who are in the same nature like us, who behaved according to our program, according to our ideas, according to our pattern, but we do not love people who, oh, he's different than me. Just imagine, God loved the people who are completely different than him, his worst enemies, but still he came to show us how much he cares for us. But there is something I shouldn't overlook. Look at again the verse. This is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world. Do you see the order? There are the two special names of Jesus Christ there. But the order most of time we read in the Bible is Jesus Christ. But it is intentional how Paul puts it here. Instead of Jesus Christ, he's saying Christ Jesus. Why? The emphasis is on the word Christ, meaning what? That his humiliation came to an end. It's finished. Christ said on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. Not that I am finished. He didn't say that. But it is finished. The work he came to do on the cross of Calvary is finished. Now he is exalted. Bible says many, many times, 20 times or even more, that Christ is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. So his sufferings, his humiliation, or the scourging, or the mockery, the spitting, all those things have come to an end. Now he's Christ Jesus, not just Jesus. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, visitors, friends, if Paul have said, this is a faithful saying, that Jesus came into the world, I believe there will be nothing special about that. Why? Because there are so many people called Jesus who have come into this world. Yes, it's the same name as Joshua. And actually, even in our own days, in South America and in some countries in Africa, people are still called Jesus. But he gave something different. No one should ever bear that name. By the way, Christ is not his surname. It is his title. It is his office. Christ Jesus. What does Christ mean? The anointed one, the special one, the chosen one, the heavenly one, the one who will take upon himself all the pain we deserve, all the guilt, all the mountains and mountains of sins which should crush us and send us into hell, into eternal condemnation. Oh, if we have trusted in him. I speak to somebody who thinks by good works, by being nice has never saved anyone. It is only by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I must move on, because there is more we can see in the text here. The third heading is about Paul being a pattern. He's giving us a pattern here of his own testimony. So here is Paul's testimony in this verse also. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He speaks about his own testimony. Again, you can see Paul is pouring his heart. He's tender with us. You can see the affection in the way he's speaking. Do you want a proof that God can turn a sinner into a saint? It's a question. Do you want a proof that to see that God can save a sinner? Paul says, look unto my own testimony. Not the testimony of someone else. I could give you hundreds and hundreds of people testimony who have found the Lord. But Paul says, no, look unto my own testimony. This message of the Lord Jesus Christ has changed my life. It has transformed my life. And I was not always like that. I was an enemy of the gospel. And if you think you cannot be saved, here is a pattern for you. Here is the model. Here is the prototype. My dear brothers and sisters, do you know Paul was called Saul before his conversion? And this man was a million miles away from God. He was arrogant. He said in Galatians chapter 1, he destroyed the church and wasted it. And in so many verses, you can see how this man was against Jesus Christ and Christians. He destroyed homes. He widowed wives. He orphaned children. He made everyone to be terrified. You can read that in the book of Acts. Even here, just in the context here, in verse 13, how he described himself. Before I was a blasphemer, no respect for God in many ways. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. This was a, he was not a toast milk man. No. He was so arrogant and against proud, violent, religious man. And he persecuted the church of the living God without measure. But can I say something positive about him? I believe, you may disagree with me, but I believe this was the most educated man in the world. If you do not agree with the word in the world, at least he was the most educated man in his time. But look how he describes himself in this verse, verse 15, I am. Not I was, not I will be, but in the present tense, even now. This is almost the end of his life. After so many years, decades, in serving the Lord Jesus Christ after his conversion, but he still sees himself not as a great apostle. And actually, in Romans chapter 7, he said, woe unto me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, I was the least of the apostles. In Ephesians 3 verse 8, he said, I'm the least of the saints. And now he's saying, I'm the chief of sinners. This is his way. It's his way of humbling himself. It is his way of showing his godly sorrow. This is how Paul elsewhere said he was the chief lawkeeper, but now he sees himself just as the chief sinner. You see, he's not pointing again. You are the bad ones. I'm the good one. I am the bad one, including every one of us. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned, all of us, and come short to the glory of God. So that's why we need salvation. My dear friends, sin is our real problem. And Paul said he's the chief of sinners. Sin is our real trouble, and this is why salvation is our greatest need. To rank myself and to consider myself as a sinner, this is so hard. It is so hard. But I am a sinner. I'm the guilty one. No one to blame. Please stop blaming the government. Stop blaming mom and dad. Stop blaming the social environment, the pollution and so on, the globalization. Stop blaming all the people, the neighbor. Stop blaming even the Bible. Stop blaming God. I am the sinner and I have sinned against God, not anyone else. Oh, I know that's very hard to do, but it must start there. And Paul could see that because we are sinners, we need to be rescued. We are not so nice people as we may think. Paul became the recipient of God's grace and mercy. And from the chief sinner, he became the chief apostle. Remember, more than half of the New Testament was written by Paul through inspiration. So the sinner who before rejected God, didn't want to do anything with God, now it's like in my case, I could say the same. So much against the Lord Jesus Christ. I hated Christians, nothing to do with them. Infidels, unclean, immoral. That's how we looked at them in the ex-religion. But now I could see I have rejected my Savior. I have rejected the Lord of Lords. I have rejected the Prince of Life. I have rejected the resurrection and life. And I could come and cry unto God. And my conversion verse, which I have mentioned in so many times here, Matthew 11, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ said, come, come. And I couldn't do anything except coming on my knees, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that without him there is no hope for me in this life, but also in the life to come. I'm not saying this to manipulate anyone or to make you feel, to stir up feelings in you. It's the reality of the verse. This is a faithful saying that Christ came into this world to save sinners. And Paul could say, I am chief. The persecutor was changed into a preacher, the sinner into a saint. My dear friends, the basic truth is that we cannot contribute anything into our salvation. Even you cannot contribute through a decision. I will not ask you, take a decision for Christ. You cannot. Salvation is of the Lord. Only God can do that work in your heart, in your soul, and in your life as you hear the gospel. You cannot add anything, no good works, no tears. Even if your tears can fill the earth, it won't save you. No penitence, no confession. Don't go to a priest. Who is the priest? A man like you and me. To whom does the priest confess his sins? To whom? But we go to the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask for forgiveness before him. So no prayers, no moral conduct can change my life, but only the undeserved favor of God by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, if you have forgotten all I said, this is important. The only way to be saved is through the undeserved favor of God by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. His grace is more powerful than our sinful ways. I'm overwhelmed. Instead of striking us dead, God is patient. Do you know God is patient towards you tonight? He's waiting, speaking unto you. He could have sent angels to shake you where you are now. I believe God could have done that. But he said, no, that will come by the power of the Holy Spirit through those small preachers, ordinary preachers, as they preach faithfully this gospel, the word of God, the only book that is inspired in this world, the only book which came directly from God to this earth. And God said, this is my way. Take it. You will find life. You will find salvation for your soul. So I dealt with the faithful saying. I dealt with the faithful word which came into this world, Christ Jesus. I dealt with the testimony of Paul given to us as a pattern. If God can save somebody like Paul, nobody is too hard unto him. But now, what makes this verse really so wonderful? The fourth heading, the purpose of his coming. Still in the verse, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world, what for? To save sinners. Please, a Christ who is just a teacher or a prophet, like in Islam they believe he's just a prophet, a Christ who is just a good example, a miracle performer, and not a savior, can I say to you, he has never existed. Such Christ has never existed. The only Christ we know about is the Christ who saves sinners. That's the only Christ we know in the whole word of God. All the Christ are false ones, and they have never existed, and we shouldn't listen unto them. Christ came into the world, sinners to save. You see, he came to do something, not just to be somebody. That's the big difference. Oh, to save, the word save is so precious. Now, that word is misused. You know, you hear people, oh, he saved my life, he gave me some money. That's just temporary. It's just for a season, for a short time. But this is salvation for eternity, everlasting life, everlasting salvation given unto us free of charge, not expecting anything from you and me, not blackmailing you and me. That's ridiculous. It shouldn't be so. Sin is ugly and it makes us to be lost. He came into the world to save sinners. Sin is shame. It's shame. This morning I was saying the wicked, the non-believers, they are proud in their prowess in sinning. It's like they have a pedigree, proud listing the kind of sins they have committed. But according to the Bible, sin is shame. Sin is missing the target. It's missing the mark. It's missing God. Instead of us believing in God, trusting in God, humiliating ourselves before, we are proud and we think we are somebody while we are nobody actually before the living God. He could crush us, just a word, and we are done. It is done with us. But as I was saying, instead of striking us dead, God is patient with us. Oh, Christ came. He came, yes, to teach and to heal. But his purpose is to set us free, not to condemn us, the judgment will come, but he came for the first time into this world to give you life, to give me life, to give me hope, to prepare me not only to live in this life, but in the hereafter, in the life to come. He came not to make us happier, richer, or nicer, but to save us. No man could do it. He did not come to help us to save ourselves. This is again, please remove that idea that Christ came to help us. No, he came to save us thoroughly, completely. He does the work. He does the work. And that's why at the end of the day, if tonight you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what you will say? Praise be to God, he has saved a person like me. Nothing in me, nothing in you to look unto, but all to the glory of God. Salvation, Jonah 2 verse 10, salvation is of the Lord. So Christ came as a friend of sinners, not the righteous, not the proud. He has fully satisfied God's requirement. It is true, my dear brothers and sisters, Christ saves. He saves sinners. He saved me and he saved millions and millions. He bare the guilt we deserve. But finally, this Christ is worthy of full acceptation. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Savior is worthy of full acceptation. Christ is worthy to be believed, fully to be received, without dispute, without reservation, without hesitation, by all. Why? Because Christ is not confined to only one kind of people. The Jews, when Christ came, the Jews thought, God is for us. God is only for us. And they were looking for a political leader, while Christ came to be the president of the hearts of people, not to start a political government. He left it to this world. But Christ is the king over the heart of sinners. It is not confined to any one class or group of people. The gospel covers all conditions and all sorts of sins. Don't think you have committed one sin, Christ cannot forgive. He can forgive. Uttermost forgiveness he gives to sinners who comes to him through his precious blood. Worthy to be accepted. Please don't be put off by the word acceptation there. Before, the word accept means surrender. Yield your life. That's the meaning. Not that, yes, say yes to Jesus and you are saved. No, it means here I am. I abdicate. Hands up. I couldn't save myself. Help me, Lord. A child can say that. An adult can say that. Christ came to save men and women. He came to save children and adults alike. He came to save Jews and Gentiles alike. No one is out of the reach of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus backs this confession, this statement, by his precious blood. That is the seal. This gospel saved Paul. It can save anyone. Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, repent and turn to him. Cry unto him in the secret of your heart and your soul. Believe, rest and secure your soul on this faithful saying of hope, full of integrity. I close. Dispel any doubt. Dispel, remove any doubt. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary is sufficient, efficient, efficacious, and effective. It does the job. It does the work. Are you a sinner? Of course you are. Are you saved? Oh, you don't know. But this statement, this great verse says that this is a faithful saying. And worthy of full acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world. To save whom? To save sinners. Can I plead with you as I close? Come to him tonight. Trust in him. Surrender. Yield your life unto him. Christ paid the price which no man could have paid. An angel is too weak to take our sins. But Christ went to the cross of Calvary to pay the price for every person, every repenting sinner who will trust in him and call unto him for help. This is the gospel. May the Lord help us to appreciate it. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious Lord, we thank thee again. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the gospel, the good news from heaven to earth. Oh, Lord, use, please, in thy mercy, these feeble words just said in the space of few minutes. Oh Lord, do a work of grace as you have done in the person of Paul and in so many in this congregation, Lord. We believe that no heart is too hard unto thee, Lord. Oh Lord, those who are doubting, those who still have questions, we pray in thy mercy that answers will be given unto them, that these things will continue to be remembered, and that in due time, in thy mercy, that they will seek and find the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us again, Lord, as we seek thy face in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 355. Hymn number 355. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy.